I'm Tanya Mosley. In 1987, my sister Anita vanished without a trace. Decades later, thanks to DNA, we found her. But that's only the beginning of the story. She Has a Name is a new audio documentary that explores the search for redemption, confronting trauma, and healing in the face of unimaginable loss. Subscribe now to Truth Be Told Presents She Has a Name, where every revelation brings us closer to the truth.
I love this. I'm talking to a few different people, so I feel like I'm speed dating, but just for travel stories. So there's no pressure on my end. Hello, welcome to a special mini episode of Women Who Travel. I'm Lale Arakoglu. This month, we're taking a break from our typical episode schedule. Instead, you'll be hearing some phone calls between our listeners and me about travels they've taken in search of something. Last week, I spoke with Sunel about a food reunion 20 years in the making. And this week, camping gone awry with a phone call from Jamie.
I want to love camping. I want to love it so much. I feel like I need more nature in my life. I'm happier when I'm outside and at scenic places and hiking. I love it. I love it. I feel so good when I'm outside. But my few attempts at camping have been so awful that I can't, I'm done. And in fact, yes, just last night, I was talking to a friend of mine who said she's going to go canoe camping in the boundary waters of Canada, like up near the border of Wisconsin.
It sounds intense.
And I was like, canoe camping? I'm like, that would be amazing. And then I was like, oh my God, I'd be so miserable. What canoe? Like, just everything is in your canoe? Picture that in the rain and with bears and, you know, oh my gosh, no. And with all your stuff. Yeah, no.
Before we get into the challenges of the outdoors and all the reasons that you just listed off as to why it seems like maybe, you know, you in the outdoors, you're not meshing right now. You haven't found your rhythm. But you said that it makes you really happy. Why does it make you happy?
It does. I don't know. There's just something about being outside. It's like stress relieving. And I don't know. You just breathe better and you're just, I don't know. I it's hard to kind of put into words how I feel about it. But it's, as someone who lives in an urban area, there's just something about just seeing the great wide open and no people and trees and grass and flowers and, you know, wild animals and wild flowers. And it's so appealing and it's so beautiful. And I want to immerse myself in it more than just for a day hike.
So tell me about one of these camping trips. What was your vision for it? And then what was the reality?
So my very first camping trip, and this goes back to 1999, was in a field in Manchester, Tennessee. It was a music festival called Ichiku Park, which eventually became Bonnaroo.
Oh, that's amazing. I love that. Also, just full disclosure, I've only ever camped at a music festival, so it's all I know.
Okay, so then you'll be able to relate to this completely. This was a big open field in the summer in Tennessee, in the rural Tennessee. It was so hot. It was so, like, there was just a couple of porta potties. Everyone was drinking heavily. There was loud music. We were all kind of on top of each other. I remember my husband, he was just my boyfriend at the time, but the porta potties were so gross that, as like a sign of how much he cared for me, he made mittens on his hands out of toilet paper and wiped down the porta potty for me before I went in. And I'm like,
what an angel.
This is the guy for me. I know.
I think that's the most romantic thing I've ever heard.
So, it was really super nasty. Drunk people like falling asleep with their, you know, music blasting, you know, just hot, dirty. The music was great. When we went to the concerts, but like, you don't eat well when you camp, you eat like hot dogs and I don't know. S'mores, fine. But like, you can't eat s'mores three times a day. And when it's that hot, who wants to build a campfire?
Well, and also my vision of s'mores is, you know, in some like beautiful forest, although maybe not because you're probably not supposed to have a fire in a forest, but some beautiful rural setting that I'm camping at that isn't next to a Portaloo.
Right, right.
Where my husband's had to make me mittens to touch.
Right, toilet paper mittens. Right. So our next camping attempt after that was in the Grand Canyon. And I was like, now this is going to be great. And
you must have been like, now this is camping.
Right. I'm like, that was just a music festival, right? This is going to be like camping in a national park. This is going to be fantastic. Well, as you probably know, like to even get this spot, like we had to plan like a year in advance, right, to get the spot. We go, and it was certainly more remote and more pretty, but there were still a lot of people around. And we had, you know, all your food has to be hung up, you know, because of the bears. So you can't like put a protein bar in your tent with you or for the middle of the night, or not that I would eat that, but like, you know, like everything has to be hung up. But we, again, the weather was our enemy. It just rained and rained and rained. And we were trying to keep everything in the tent, but like water was getting in the tent. The sleeping bags were getting wet. The food, which is hanging from a tree, is getting wet. We ended up sleeping in the car. It was horrible. Like, because nobody sleeps in the car. And with all your stuff. And so anyway, the next morning it had kind of like cleared up. We're trying to hang our sleeping bags so they dry out and just everything. And then it kind of rained off and on during the day. So everything was wet the whole time. The food, like we couldn't cook. You can't start a fire in the rain. And all of our food was like stuck. Like we can't eat raw hot dogs or, you know, it was just, we couldn't eat. Everything
was wet.
It's been
hanging up in that tree getting wet.
Because I think maybe the problem, maybe we didn't have the right equipment and that maybe was our fail here, you know, or maybe it was a certain, I don't know. Certainly camping in the summer is not for the meek. You know, the time of year, I don't know how to handle the weather.
But so you had all these learnings though, and then you went camping again.
Right.
So you must have felt like, okay, we're not novices now. We've been learned from our mistakes.
Right. We know how to put up a tent now. We know like what kind of foods to bring and not bring. But again, you're still bringing so much stuff. Like you just have to bring things to cook with, things to start a fire with, you know, a pad for your bed, your pillow, it's just so much to carry and bring. I don't know how these people do it in tiny little backpacks and go for 2 weeks.
Or in canoes.
Or canoes, right. And I mean, that's just a level I don't know if I can ever achieve. So I would say the Grand Canyon was better. We did end up in a hotel on night two. Again, everything soaking wet, just... But funny enough, because there were no hotel rooms left, we ended up getting just a hotel with one bed. And so two of us had to sleep on the floor. So we're like, we're camping of a Holiday Inn, like a really grungy Holiday Inn.
That's like when you sort of say to your parents that you want to go camping and they set the tent up like in the living room or something.
So, and then... a third camping attempt involved like it was in a place called Santa Claus, Indiana. It's a small town in southern Indiana. We were with the kids, and it was like trailers. And again, we had like 100-degree day, so you don't want to start a campfire. And then what's there to do at night if you don't have a campfire? So we're sitting in this unair-conditioned trailer. We're all sweating. Everyone was miserable. I don't know. So I obviously have been paying close attention to a lot of the new glamping options.
Okay, so I was going to ask, because as you know, I'm also not a good camper. Again, it's only been music festivals, but one of my many mistakes was I borrowed some sleeping bags and forgot to look at, I didn't think to check the size, and then realized they were children's sleeping bags. So spent 3 days at Reading Festival in England.
Curled up.
Sleeping in a child's sleeping bag. And I'm not the tallest person, but I'm not the height of an 8-year-old.
Right, right.
So I've realized I'm more of a glamping girl. So have you tried it?
I have not, but you know, do you think glamping is cheating though? Is that real camping if you have, you know, 600 thread count sheets and a pillow top mattress and a bathroom? Is that camping? No, you're just staying in an airy hotel.
I've been thinking about this. So it is cheating. I'm not going to call it camping. I'm not setting up that yurt or whatever it is by myself. And if you're sleeping in a real bed, it's not camping, right? But what you said earlier at the start kind of got me thinking, because what it sounds like is it's not the sleeping in the tent that you want to connect with or anything like that. It's you want to be outside and you want to be in nature and you want it to be more than a day hike. And glamping allows you to do that and you won't end up sleeping in your car. So maybe there's actually a solution there. Because I did it for Bryce Canyon last summer for 3 nights, and it was one of the most magical weekends I've spent. It was extraordinary.
Can you imagine like the sky full of stars and, you know, just, oh, the peace and the beauty of nighttime? I think your trip sounds fantastic.
Well, and you know what this glamping tent had was a little window above where you slept that was just kind of like clear plastic that looked up onto the stars. And so when it was completely clear, you could see every star and oh. It was a full moon. So the whole tent was illuminated by the moon.
Oh.
And you wouldn't have had that in your...
See, that's magical sounding. That is the kind of experience I'm chasing with my camping attempts. But I don't know, perhaps your listeners have some ideas for what I'm doing wrong, or if there's my issues really have more been around the weather. I don't know how to camp in bad weather. I don't know what to do. Like, how do you avoid it? What do you, when it's 100 degrees, how do you cook dinner over a fire? Or do you just eat, you know, Rice Krispie treats? I don't know.
There are places in America that aren't 100 degrees. Few and fewer as the summers go by. But I'm interested to know, if you are going to do another one, where would it be? Where are you desperate to get to next? That you'd actually give camping a chance in one more time.
Yeah, I have Yosemite on my list, high on my list. That's also a hard place to get a spot. And I think you're right. I think do not go in summer. I need to go in the shoulder seasons or in the fall. Or how crazy am I? Maybe in the winter. But no, I'm not ready for that yet. But I think I don't want to give up on it. But my experiences have just been so negative. And I mean, we can laugh about it now, but at the time we were not laughing. We're like, this stinks. So where do you want to go? Where's your wish for
camping? I'd really like to go to the Grand Canyon, but I think I'm going to have to study the weather. And yeah, that's kind of top of my list. It's a part I've yet to see it. I'd also love to go to Yellowstone. So a few places. But I hope you find the right camping destination, and I have faith you're going to do it.
Thank you. I do too.
So, listeners, if you have tips, send them to Women Who Travel and we will pass them on to Jamie. And you're going to have to come back on and tell us about your next camping trip.
I mean, what if it's a huge success? I will owe it all to you and your listeners.
Oh, and if it's not, then it's more fodder for a good story.
Well, the best travel stories are always when things go wrong, right?
Yeah, exactly. Who's ever laughed at a dinner party story about something going right?
Right.
This was great. This was so fun. Weirdly, you've made me want to go camping. So I think it's been a success.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you. I'm Lale Arakoglu, and you can find me on Instagram at Lale Hannah. Our engineer this week is Gabe Kuroga. The show is mixed by Amar Lal. Jude Kampfner from Corporation for Independent Media is our producer. And special thanks to Jordan Bell for producing this episode. If you have a memorable travel story, write to us at womenwhotravel@cntraveler.com. Next week, as the FIFA World Cup tournament draws to a close, we hear from America's most traveled professional soccer player who's participated in the Olympics and World Cups, and consider the journeys that players had to take across New Zealand and Australia.
We've all been there before. You're planning a dinner party or having family over or even just cooking for yourself when all of a sudden it starts to feel overwhelming.
I live in a very small one-bedroom apartment with a very small kitchen.
I can't figure out what to serve besides water soup at this point.
I'm Chris Morocco, food director of Bon Appetit and Epicurious, and this is Dinner SOS, a new podcast from Bon Appetit. Maybe it's a last-minute party with no menu inspiration, a kitchen with no space, a toddler who will only eat buttered pasta. Name your dinner emergency. We're here to help. Here's how the show works. On each episode, we'll take a call from a home cook facing a real dinner emergency. Then, I'll work with one of our editors or someone from our amazing test kitchen to try and solve it. Because cooking for the people you love should inspire joy without a side of stress. Make sure you're following Dinner SOS wherever you're listening now.
I'm Tanya Mosley. In 1987, my sister Anita vanished without a trace. Decades later, thanks to DNA, we found her. But that's only the beginning of the story. She Has a Name is a new audio documentary that explores the search for redemption, confronting trauma, and healing in the face of unimaginable loss. Subscribe now to Truth Be Told Presents She Has a Name, where every revelation brings us closer to the truth.
From PRX.